be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at his rising, and we have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, from the Gospel of Matthew only, we are introduced to the Magi who came to visit Jesus, came from the East. So let me look at this event of the Magi called the Epiphany, coming from a Greek word meaning the showing or revelation. It's meant to be the showing of Jesus to the Gentile world, since he was already revealed to the people of Israel. Now he is shown to the Gentile world, represented by the Magi. So what do we know about the Magi, and what can we learn from the Magi? First thing we learn is they were not kings. I know we sang the three kings coming in and the responsorial psalm is Psalm 72, which mentions the kings of Tarshish and the Isles will come to pay tribute to the Messiah. And it emerged that they came to be called kings. They looked like kings sometimes. They were not kings, they were magi, wise men. Magos means a wise man, wise men from the East. Second thing, they were not just three in number. The three in number comes from the fact that three gifts were mentioned. They come from a foreign land, led by a star. Now, what's very important reflecting on this is the symbolism of each event. Not to get arrested with historical detail, but to catch the invitation given to us from the symbols of this story. Symbolism is very important. It teaches us that we belong to the moment. So let me look at the Magi and wonder who they were and what we can learn about them. Then we'll wonder what they teach us. All of you who have been to the Holy Land and you went to Bethlehem, you might remember your guide telling you that in the year 614, the Persians overran what is today the Holy Land, destroying the churches. However, when they came to Bethlehem, one of the earliest Christian churches, when they came to Bethlehem, they saw a mosaic of the Magi dressed in Persian costume, thinking they might be the priests of this church. They did not damage the church. But it gives us a very early tradition that they were Persians. They were wise men from Persia. Persia was set in present-day Iran. The Persians are a culture separate from all the Iranians. All Persians are Iranians, but not all Iranians are Persians. This whole development of Persian wisdom is ancient and very revered. 600 or 700 years before Christ, in what is now Iran, there emerged this Persian doctrine, a culture. They had their own divine master of wisdom called Ahura Mazda, and the great prophet Zoroaster. Some of you may read about Zoroaster in your reading. He was the great prophet of the Persian culture of religion and the richness of their whole tradition. So we're going to believe from earliest traditions that they came from Persia of the time. Enlightened as they were with the rich doctrine and the rich belief of the Persian people, there was something about it that was incomplete. They were missing something. There was an emptiness, some poverty in their rich culture. In all the religion they had, there was something missing. And so here is the symbol. They follow the star. A higher power, something divine, will lead them out of their land into a new place. The symbolism, being led into a new place. And in their journey, they will encounter the wisdom of the world in Herod. Power, greed, corruption. It does not divert them. They follow the star, and when they get to Bethlehem, they renounce their privilege. They bow down and adore the child. Now they're fulfilled. And now, in a dream, they're told, do not go back by Herod. Go home a different way. The symbolism. They met Jesus Christ, they met the child Christ. Whatever way they were enlightened, they were told, now you go by a different way. What does this mean to us? I was looking for some example that might carry the message of going a different way and seeing in a new way. In 1971, Leonard Bernstein's Mass was first premiered at the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. The Performing Arts Center, named for John F. Kennedy. I still call it the Kennedy Center. It was post-Vietnam, a very disturbed time in our country. Much conflict, some violence, the assassination of a president. Bernstein's Mass was meant to introduce a diversity, harmony in diversity, that his Mass would be countercultural at the time, against violence and against division. And this was an extraordinary event dedicated to the memory of John F. Kennedy and commissioned by his widow, Jacqueline Onassis. One of the dramatic moments in this Mass, Bernstein's Mass, which has 200 persons in it, it has traditional music and it has modern day music. It's a whole coming together of cultures, ideas. It's an inclusive celebration of the Mass in culture, in music, in art. There's a dramatic moment in it where the priest celebrating the Mass is carried aloft, dressed in wonderful embroidered vestments, celebrating great vestments. He's carrying his chalice aloft, a glass chalice, carried by a pyramid of the congregation. He's up aloft here, and in one dramatic moment, the pyramid collapses, the stage goes dark, and when the lights come back on, the priest is standing there, barefoot, in jeans and a t-shirt, and that last chalice is broken into many, many pieces, and there's silence. And then the priest looks at the broken chalice, and he says, "I never knew that broken glass could be so beautiful." The teaching of the moment: he could only see the beauty in the broken glass when he collapsed from his place on high, when all the adoration disappeared, when his power and his prestige and all that was reft from him. And then he could see what he could not see from a place of power. Made me wonder, do we have to collapse in order to see Jesus Christ? Do we have to renounce our privilege, the Magi, in order to identify the Messiah? Do we have to fail? Do we have to sin? Do we have to recover in order to find the person of Jesus Christ? And what do you do in your life when you have trouble, you have conflict, you have a disappointment in your life, you have sickness, you experience the death of somebody close to you? And the lights go out and you crash, and the lights come back on, and you're broken. You're simple. Now you can see the problem. Now you can see the challenge. You can see the pain. Now you can see the poverty around you in our society. Something you could not see from on high. When now you're carrying a pain, you can see the pain of other people. You're carrying your loneliness, a call to see the loneliness in other people. Do we have to go through failure, pain, struggle, unresolved problems in life? I've looked at my own life, and the first half of my life I was powerful and up there. Big Monsignor at 33, thought I was God Almighty, you know. And then darkness set in.
failure happened in my life. Sin entered in. And I found Jesus Christ. In a new way, I could only find if the darkness came and I woke up and I could see with new eyes, I could see with new light. So wherever you are in your life, whatever conflict you're carrying, whatever burden is yours, what emptiness, what poverty you have in your life, Henry Nouwen wonders in this way, do you want to live under a curse? Where you're chronically angry, disappointed, you'll walk in darkness? Or do you want to place your life under a blessing and say, somehow in this moment, God speaks to me. Somehow in this moment of conflict, disappointment, struggle, uncertainty, I find an experience of Jesus Christ I could not find in prosperity and in success and in worldly honors. It's a wonderful teaching. It's a teaching that belongs to every one of us somewhere in life, because life is imperfect. So here's the question. Do you want to live your life under a curse? I'll tell you what's wrong. I'll tell you who's mean. I'll tell you about my judgments. I'll tell you who doesn't qualify. I'll tell you in the church who doesn't fit in. The curse of a judgment, the curse of a heavy heart, a broken spirit, the fullness of my humanity. Do I want to accept the fullness of being human? Being imperfect, making mistakes. Do I want to accept my imperfection and say, only in the poverty of my brokenness can I see what I could not see in my power, in my success, in my glory? It's worth a second thought. We learned that from the Magi. Wise men, wise because they were incomplete, wise because they had questions, wise because they were unfulfilled. So they left their land for me, for you, to leave the place where you are. Go to a new land led by a star, led by God's revelation. And see in your humanity, see what you could not see in your time of glory or success or power. So the Magi teach us. Amen.